happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA and all the ships at sea.
We can't get used to these microphones yet.
I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And this is Gay USA.
And we have a big announcement.
Oh, please.
I think we should do this at the top of the show.
Please.
Well, you know, in the age of the internet and Instagram and everything else, we've decided to experiment with reverting to, I guess, our original format. Certainly the way we did it for years before. We've been here together for 30 years, so we've done everything in 30 years.
We've done an hour show since the Kerry election, which whatever the hell that was, 2004 maybe.
But now we are going to cut the show in half. We're going to do it as a half-hour show. We think it'll be zippier, more appealing to the audience, more appealing to us. And right. Not this week, not next week, but the week after, when we're taping on Wednesday, April 8th, that will be our first half-hour show. Right. And so if you're seeing it that week, that's when we're going to start doing it as half an hour.
And by the way, Kerry didn't win in 2004. It was too bad against George W. Bush.
22 years we've been doing it as an hour show.
Yes. But MNN, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, where we originate, they came to us in 2004. This is a very important election year, and we want you to expand the show to an hour because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure we could do it. And for a while, we relied on having a guest every week.
Yep.
Every week. And now we don't have room for you. Sorry.
For guests.
Yes.
We have room for you.
Oh, we welcome
viewers,
you, and we love you. And we really appreciate all the communication you've had with us about how you discovered the show and how you appreciate us. And we thank you.
And charming as this little byplay is, there's not going to be as much of it in a half-hour show.
Right.
So let's dive into the headlines.
Well,
for this
week. Was a big rebuke by a federal judge of Trump and RFK Jr. over their targeting of gender-affirming care for minors.
It's a really huge, important, magnificent decision. We'll see if it stands up, but we'll tell you the details. Also, the UN's 70th Commission on the Status of Women has rejected U.S. motions to redefine gender by Trump standards.
The U.S. stands alone in its transphobia.
Pretty much. Sort of.
Yes, there's qualifications.
Yeah.
And, you know, a trans man told the Idaho legislature everything that is evil and insane about their anti-trans bill, and we'll bring you his testimony.
Yes. Four states so far will have anti-trans measures on the ballot in November. We're back to the George Bush day, 2004, when he ran on opposing same-sex marriage.
Right. We mourn the loss of legendary artist, activist, archivist, and drag queen Augusto Machado, who has died at the age of 86.
Amazing guy. Out LGBTQ candidates have been elected in Munich, Germany, and Nepal.
What could be next? I guess it would be court wins in Poland and Greece.
You know, we really have spread this revolution around the world.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
We did it?
We did, because it started here. I mean, it's been going on a lot longer than anyone acknowledges all over the world, but really the modern version of the revolution
started
in the United States and has really just
Well, let's not forget
everywhere.
Magnus Hirschfeld in Germany,
well,
but
exactly.
He got crushed by the Nazis.
Yes,
that was
that.
Really, and you know, yes, that was the original movement.
And I'm excited that Kristen Stewart is going to play astronaut Sally Ride in a new Amazon Prime series.
And I'm excited about Daniel Radcliffe in Every Brilliant Thing on Broadway.
And there is a new ballet version of Gentleman Jack, which you saw as a TV series about an unapologetic 19th century lesbian And the ballet, we've seen the trailer. It's just amazing.
And we're going to link to the trailer in our email, which we send out every week. And, I mean, you can Google this and find it if you don't. But get on our list and you'll get these extras.
Yeah, go to gayusatv.org because more and more of the show is going to be on our website with or on sending out with our show note weekly with the links, so you don't want to be missing that.
So RFK Jr. over there at the Department of Health and Human Services and Trump, they've been rebuked by a federal judge on their declaration targeting gender-affirming care. This judge,
an Oregon federal judge,
Mustafa Kasubai, who was appointed by Biden, said that
Well, he vacated RFK Jr.'s threat to cut federal funding to medical professionals who provide gender-affirming care for minors. He said that Kennedy exceeded his authority in making that threat.
Yeah. When he made the declaration, he said, look, it's not merely an opinion. It has materially modified not even how the standards of care might be applied in gender-affirming care, but there is no standard of care that can be applied.
Well, and he said that HHS's threats to cut funding tried to modify a federally recognized standard of health care and are illegal and cannot happen.
I mean, Kennedy was so unscientific in doing his declaration. He referred to all these things as sex-rejecting procedures.
Oh, he hasn't stopped, and he's going to keep saying it. The judge said that Trump's theme is break it and see if we can get away with it, which, of course, is exactly what Trump has been doing for all his life.
So this was a ton of attorneys general who brought these cases.
21.
One of them is the out lesbian from Michigan, Dana Nessel, who said the court what Kennedy did was an unlawful attempt to pressure health care providers into ending necessary health care for transgender youth. And the judge granted summary judgment.
And the plaintiffs, the attorneys general from 21 states, said that the attempt by the Trump administration to defund all these medical facilities, if they provided this care, hospitals everywhere.
Well, cutting off the federal government has this power to cut. If they don't do what we want, we're cutting you off from Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And hospitals can't survive without Medicare and Medicaid.
No. So the attorney general's lawsuit said it that threat violates the principle that the rule of law is to be regarded and respected and honored as sacred. And it's so true and so fundamentally true that that's what the Trump administration does. They don't care about any law. They just want to do what they want to do. Right. They're not consulting Congress about war.
Congress is supine and
Well,
and
that too,
useless.
But they're just – and that's why Trump can get away with it. They just run roughshod over everything. So this is a fantastic and important decision by this judge. Now, of course – the Trump administration will try to overcome this either by appealing this
sure.
decision or by ignoring it and just trying to go around it. This is going to be a fight that
continues. Then they find another pretext to do things.
Exactly, as they're doing with
tariffs.
Tariffs and also something about the war. I can't remember. Anyway,
right.
Tariffs definitely.
You know, I wanted to give you some
but
good.
But it's a great victory for the moment. Very exciting.
And we are, as we come up on the March 28th, No King's Day demonstrations, no kings, no ice, no war. That's what it's about. It should be, by the way, the largest demonstration in the history of the world.
It could very well be.
It's,
don't miss it. It's
just
going to
be, Google No Kings. You'll find a one in a city near you. You don't. We used to have to go to Washington.
The city.
Protest.
It's probably around the block in your
exactly,
neighborhood.
Exactly. So, but I was encouraged that the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award this year is going to be presented to a Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, who stood up to Trump and is being prosecuted for it.
No, they failed to prosecute him.
Well, they're trying to.
They were told they can't.
Jeanine Pirro
lost.
Will find a way.
I don't know.
Oh, well, they're coming back at Comey, too. But also, and this is, again, it's been suggested that they deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. They're also honoring the people of the Twin Cities of Minnesota for their risking their lives to protect their neighbors and immigrant community members from an unprecedented federal law enforcement operation and peacefully doing so.
Makes me proud. Those are my people.
That's great.
Yes, it is. It really is great. And the people of Minneapolis and St. Paul honored by the JFK Profiling Courage
Not so great, Award. Of course, and you've all heard about this, is the way Trump posted about the passing of Robert Mueller. Good, I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. I have kept that quote on hand for a special occasion, which I kind of hope will happen sooner rather than later.
Well, meanwhile, he's practicing his usual brand of hypocrisy. There was a special election in Florida in his neighborhood for a state House of Representatives seat, and he voted by mail.
And he lost.
And he lost, and it was a Republican district.
It's a district he won by 9 points, and the previous state senator won Republican by 19 points. This is the swing that is happening. He knows he's dead meat. The only way he can win the election is through a coup.
Well, the Democrat who won was all over TV this week after her win. She's very impressive. She's really terrific, and I'm hoping for more from her.
Trump also erected a statue of the genocidal Christopher Columbus on the White House grounds, and he got his Arts Commission to approve a gold coin with his sullen image on it.
Really ugly image.
And not surprisingly, the Alexander brothers in real estate, who were all convicted of sex trafficking, are lobbying for a pardon from Trump. They face life in prison for their misdeeds, and they appealing to a fellow sexual abuser.
Might as well
in
ask.
In the real estate industry.
Might as well ask. And there was a report on the Trump cabinet and the members' donations to Trump. 20 of 23 cabinet members have made substantial donations to Trump, starting with Linda McMahon, who has donated $20 million to him. She's the leader.
It's
Howard Lutnick, $10 million.
It's all a grift.
Well,
I mean, you're being robbed blind.
Iran giving him a gift. He won't say what it is. He's the president. He's required to report gifts. What's that all about?
That's sick.
A couple other things.
And, of course, the only hope is that the Supreme Court is engaging in more voter suppression by taking away the right of states to count ballots that come in on that are postmarked on time.
Heaven
but come
forbid.
In after the election.
You vote, but your vote
They're just
count.
Trying to protect themselves.
A couple other things. The Trump is on his anti-windmill campaign again, and I've only seen one person who understands that the reason he hates windmills is because
his
golf course in Scotland. The Scottish government was putting up windmills in the ocean, and he thought they were ugly, and he's been on a campaign against windmills ever since because he lost the case.
I think he's ugly, and I, you know.
And congratulations to a small win for the Democrats in Congress, in the Senate, because the Save America Act of voter suppression and anti-trans things, the Democrats managed to get rid of the no trans women in women's sports. So that clause is out of there. They still have to get rid of the bathrooms.
No, I noticed that we're suing Harvard I speak on behalf of the United States, for anti-Semitism.
Yep.
But
because they haven't done
enough. Of course, what the United States is also demanding is that schools engage in racism, sexism, and anti-LGBTQ bigotry, or they're in trouble.
Sure, because they don't define teaching about racism and sexism and homophobia as legitimate.
Right.
So anything goes.
The White House Women's History Month proclamation spewed anti-transgender rhetoric. We are keeping men out of women's sports, enforcing Title IX as it was originally written, and ensuring colleges preserve and, where possible, expand scholarships and roster opportunities for female athletes, as if they care.
Oh, my God. Well, in Tennessee, there's a bill under consideration that would mandate a list being created of all trans people receiving care.
I mean, it would expose them, basically. I mean, they're collecting what they say. Oh, it's not going to have names on it. But once you collect this level of information, it's easy to tell who it is.
Absolutely.
But America was isolated at the United Nations at the 70th Annual Commission on the Status of Women, where they overwhelmingly voted against considering a proposal by us, the United States, to adopt an anti-trans definition of gender. They said, look, we defined this years ago. We're not changing it. Some countries like Italy said, well, this just came in too late. We don't have time
to
consider it.
Well, you know, we talked about
this. We only got one vote.
We talked about this a little last week. This was a final vote with a full commission. The U.S. had insisted on having a vote taken, but the U.S. stood alone. They were the only ones to vote to adopt this male-female-only binary definition. Some countries who abstained, and they were still in the minority. The majority of countries stood up against the United States. But the ones who abstained said, well, the U.S. violated our procedures in making this proposal. We might have voted with them if they hadn't screwed it up.
Right. Okay.
It still wouldn't have been enough. All right.
Oh, a bill that would clear the way for the long-delayed American Women's History Museum to be built on the National Mall was cruelly amended by a Republican from Illinois with an anti-transgender provision on Wednesday. Now, this is the House, of course. It states the museum may not depict any biological male as female, aligning with Trump's order and to end corrosive ideology.
Well, there are real questions about whether the Smithsonian Museum, African American Museum, will stand.
Sure.
And they are fighting.
It's just a bunch of DEI, after all, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our sarcasm is showing.
Yes. Senate Democrats. Okay, we got that. Got that. Where are we going? Let's go to...
Well, as you look around, I will say that the Public Religion Research Institute surveyed 22,000 people and found that 72% of U.S. people in the U.S. support LGBTQ rights and non-discrimination laws.
So what? We still don't have a federal gay rights law, LGBTQ rights law.
Well, someday politicians will
Please,
wake it's up been and
there
realize.
For, it's been there since 1973, if you saw the 65%
support same-sex marriage, far more Democrats than Republicans, of course. 71% are pro-trans rights, except for bathrooms.
Locker rooms, too, probably.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let's go to Idaho. Idaho, the House was considering a bill to make trans people going into the bathrooms that correspond to their lived gender identity, but not there.
It's one of the most punitive in the country.
A felony.
Penalties escalate quickly. A first violation would be a misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in jail. And the second offense, within 5 years, could be charged as a felony, carrying a prison sentence up to 5 years.
So the House in Idaho passed this bill, but in the process of considering it, they took testimony, and a young trans man from Idaho testified about the implications of this bill.
My name is Nixon Matthews. I'm a Boise resident and proud trans Idahoan, and I am opposed to this bill. And I want to walk through what this looks like for me. Say one of the men here walks into the men's bathroom and you see me walk into a stall and you know I'm trans. And since you're all law-abiding citizens, you're going to call 911. You're going to say, hello, 911. There's a trans person in the bathroom. They're peeing right now. I'm scared. Please come and arrest them. And since this is the best use of police time, they're going to zip right over in record speed. So let's think about the situation they're walking into. I look like a man. Everyone in the restroom sees a bearded man using the men's bathroom. But the only reason I'm being investigated is because someone knows or thinks that I'm trans. And if that officer decides I violated this law, I could go to jail for up to a year for peeing, washing my hands, or even being in the bathroom to grab a tissue. Okay, so let's talk about what this bill forces me to do. It forces me to use the women's bathroom. Say I happen to walk behind a woman, and her husband sees someone who looks like me following his wife into the bathroom. What do you think happens next? Maybe the cops get called, but more likely that man is going to follow me into the bathroom, confront me, and even assault me. And it's worth noting that based on existing Idaho code, which I have here and will share, if I were assaulted, that person would face a lighter punishment than I would for using the men's bathroom. So every single day when I'm out in public, I have to decide, do I feel like going to jail today? Or do I feel like being attacked? Trans people make up 0.4% of Idaho's population. In the past 5 years, this body has passed 17 laws targeting trans rights, 5 this session. So I just ask, when is it enough? When do we reach the point when it's been enough?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as long as they can win elections by scapegoating trans people, it will never be enough because that's what they do. They went after women on abortion years ago and won elections. Then they went after gay people and won elections. And now they're scapegoating trans people.
I mean, they've been pushing the anti-trans thing. In fact, Trump said, I want this anti-trans stuff in the SAVE Act. Because don't you understand? It's so popular. Everybody agrees with me. But the fact is, in the New Jersey and Virginia gubernatorial elections, so the Republicans spent half their money, tens of millions of dollars, anti-trans, and it didn't work.
In large part because the Democrats stood up to them and explained how bigoted and unnecessary and cruel it was. And that's the thing. You have to fight back against the bullies. You can't just try to ignore
it. Well, I get some of these Christian organization emails, and they're going after James Tallarico, the U.S. Senate candidate, because he says God has no gender. I mean, you call him father this, but look at the Bible. It's not, there is no gender for his God. It's not my God. But, and they are just furious.
In the English translation.
They are just furious about this.
Well, they're opportunistic.
And
I don't think they're furious about anything.
And
they're
deeply invested in strict gender roles.
Yeah, oh, they certainly are. And they don't like women at all. I was watching some reality show recently. I do watch The Housewives here and there, and some couples are arguing, and the wife is trying to talk to someone else's husband about something, and he whips around and says to her, "I don't talk to women." What? That is what he said. And it was so clearly a rejection of the personhood of women.
Sure.
It was.
How do you think they were not allowed? You were not allowed to vote until 1920.
Exactly. Then black women.
My grandmother
longer.
Was 40 when she was allowed to vote.
Yeah.
All right. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is investigating 13 states that require state-regulated health insurance plans to cover abortion services. They're going after them all. Governor Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey calls it nothing but a fishing expedition. And it's, Trump said, leave abortion to the states. They're not leaving it to the states.
Oh, don't worry about the Dobbs decision. Individual states will be able to decide. Not so much.
And now four states, have now qualified, and there may be more, anti-trans ballot initiatives for the November ballot. More could follow. Missouri is seeking to ban transition-related care for trans youth, as well as roll back voter-approved abortion protections from 2024. Colorado, Maine, Washington, and Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo was also seeking to place a transgender athlete ban on the state's 2026 ballot.
It's all just very cynical and very scapegoating. And
this is going to help us. This is going to bring out our voters.
Look, we've been through this. We've been through this as LGBTQ people. We recognize the scapegoating that's going on, the cynicism of it, and we really feel for the people who are the victims of
no
this.
One's human rights should be put on a ballot, ever.
Well, in Tennessee, in Rutherford County, a library board ordered 190 books moved from the kids section to the adult section because they found those 190 books so offensive. Well, but the librarian refused and said it's a violation of the First Amendment. I am not moving those books. They're staying right where they are.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Texas is cracking down on 30 Rainbow and Black Lives Matter crosswalks in Dallas, responding to a demand, what they say, from the Texas Department of Transportation. And it's been going on citywide. And then at 3:30 a.m. after they did this, Dallas police arrested a man who was restoring with chalk the one at Cedar Springs Road. And they say the removal has sparked grief in the Oak Lawn neighborhood, where the LGBTQ community raised $100,000 to fund these rainbow crosswalks.
The Department of Transportation in Texas has trotted out the usual canards that this is these rainbow crosswalks are a distraction to drivers, which has been proved to be not only wrong, but the opposite of what's
exactly
true, because drivers slow down when they see these crosswalks. And political messaging. A rainbow crosswalk is political messaging.
Look, they say that us saying we're gay is a political message.
I know. And meanwhile, someone said, well, what about Southern Methodist University has its symbol of the pony, the Mustang, covering a whole intersection. Are you going to get rid of that too?
Are
isn't
they?
That? No, that can stay.
Why?
Because it's SMU. Meanwhile, there are going to be community meetings in the Oak Lawn District to discuss alternatives, because look what happened in Orlando. This is the model people have to have, that to put these rainbows on private property so that the state can't
touch sidewalks.
Them.
Or is that a danger to pedestrians?
Well, it may be government property, in which case the government can decide to get rid of them for whatever reason they want.
But we know that the Methodist Church there beautifully painted its steps in rainbow colors, and that will stay.
But that's private property.
That will stay.
Yeah. So they may do something similar in Texas.
And
in Florida, some sociology professors are refusing the state's order to change their teaching of DEI. They are refusing to get to change the curricula to get rid of lessons on race and gender and sexual orientation. They say they have a professional responsibility to maintain a full and rigorous education for their students.
In California, in San Diego, four families have filed a class action suit against Rady Children's Hospital following their decision to halt transition-related care for transgender youth in response to threats from the federal government. Listen to this. Nearly 1,900 patients were affected by the decision, which the suit says that's not only disruptive, it's unlawful.
Yeah. And we have we keep going back to Florida. They had a bill to ban marriages of first cousins. It failed. It is legal to marry your first cousin in Florida.
Cousin, cousine, if you remember the movie. At Florida University, now this is Florida University, you know, the DeSantis state. They did rule that its racist, Nazi-loving student Republican group can no longer meet on campus. In one group chat, a member wrote that Hitler did not go far enough. Another member was pictured giving the Nazi salute. And somebody said, well, he wasn't in leadership. So the University of Florida College Republicans are gone. They were ratted on by the supposedly more moderate Florida Federation of College Republicans.
Yeah. A good decision from a Montana court, actually the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's a yes. federal court, they upheld an injunction against a bill that would bar drag shows.
Yes.
They
said it's free expression.
Right, exactly.
It's First Amendment. And you have Trump judges involved in these decisions in
exactly.
some cases. Basketball legend Dwayne Wade, himself the father of a transgender child, Zaya Wade, debuted a feature-length documentary at South by Southwest called The Dads. It's based on his Emmy-winning documentary short. It follows the fathers of transgender and gender-expansive kids as their families face a shifting political climate and rising hostility. He's just been great.
For years, really, totally supportive and wonderful. And his wife, Gabrielle Union, the two of them are just yes. fantastic. Not so fantastic. The Ohio legislator, State Representative Rodney Creech, who's part of the proposal to ban drag in Ohio, has admitted to getting into bed with a minor relative in his underwear with an erection.
Yes, and she complained about this, and the police said, you know.
Oh, my God.
Because he's a Republican.
Oh, my God.
Well, NASCAR has indefinitely suspended colleague racing driver Daniel Dye after he mocked another driver with a homophobic remark during a live stream, which triggered off a whole bunch of things. He said that the driver had a gay voice before mocking it online. And so they suspended him, and he has to undergo sensitivity training. He did say, I didn't think enough before I spoke. I in no way meant any harm. He's 22 years old. I know that doesn't erase the impact, and I need to do better. I have some close friends who are LGBTQ. I would never want them to feel less of themselves because of what I said.
Okay.
I'm just
saying.
I wish
people would start thinking before they speak. But not so good. In Indiana, a school district settled with a teacher who had refused to use students' preferred pronouns. It was evidently against his religion. And in the settlement, the school district has to pay him $650,000. So play your cards right.
Well, on the other hand, a jury in California found that Bill Cosby had drugged and sexually assaulted Donna Motzinger back in 1972, and she's been awarded $19.25 million. You know, he was let out of jail after spending, I think, 3 years there, but he is subject to these civil suits. He says he's broke anyway.
Thank you to black trans woman Andrea Jenkins, who is retiring from the Minnesota Minneapolis City Council after serving several terms. It was in her district that George Floyd was killed yes. and Renee Good was killed.
Yes.
She accomplished a lot on the city council, got a ban on conversion therapy. Brought mental health considerations into police work and was a great role model on the city council. So thank you, Andrea, for all your good work.
So we read the story this week about a transgender student at MIT, Matthew N., we only have a last initial, whose parents cut him off. And then they said, well, you're not entitled to aid because...
Because when deciding financial aid for college students, the colleges don't listen to stories like your parents cut you off. They look at your parents' financial situation, and if they think they have enough money to pay for your college education, they are not going to give you financial aid. And
but
so
if you're not, they don't
care. You could be faking.
So?
You and your parents could have dreamt up a scheme.
Don't you remember Love Story where Ryan O'Neill went back to the college when he was cut back as father? All right. So they started a GoFundMe thing, and they raised $90,000 to help this kid get through school.
For his senior year, which is about what it costs at those places
now.
Yeah.
All right, so this week we marked the 40th anniversary of the passage of the New York City Gay Rights Bill. Now, we say it was 40 years ago, and that sounds like a long time ago, but it took 15 years to pass this thing. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this up, it was in the Reagan era, worst years of the AIDS crisis, 1986, and it was sort of a ray of hope.
Well, it was one of the first introduced, I think, but then—
The Gay Activists Alliance invented the term sexual orientation for civil rights laws. It had never been thought of before. They did it. Alan Roscoff co-wrote it. And there it was. And we couldn't get it passed in New York.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin passed a gay rights
bill. All the major cities passed it,
yeah.
You know, except New York. So we got it passed. But, I mean, there's the cover of the Daily News. I love the intersectionality. Gays, yes, Contras, no. Because Reagan was rebuked by the Congress over funding of the Contras in Nicaragua, which is the right-wing group that he backed there. So the point is, with the No Kings March coming in, we need progressive victories. And they're not going to be, you know, we get some things through the courts. It has to be produced by the people. And that's what we need to do.
Well, that's what the new King's March will be, is people in the streets, a critical mass of people demanding change.
And if you're going to the one in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, you're gonna get the big names. Bernie Sanders, Jane Fonda, Joan Baez, and now Bruce Springsteen.
Good.
He has a new song about the—
All right. Should we talk about some people we've lost?
Yes. There's the violent death of a black gay man and drag performer, Shael Diamond Sanchez McCray, 42, in Petersburg, Virginia, on March 13th. He had worked at an LGBTQ bar in Charlotte and worked with Nation's pageantry system. He ran a catering company known as Mabel. He was targeted with racist slurs and bias at a Charlotte bar. But he responded with a community advocacy effort to address racism in the LGBTQ community.
Now, this is the first report in 2026 of a trans or drag performer guy. There's some dispute about which is the appropriate.
They're saying did not identify. The family and a lot of groups that have talked with people who know him said this is not a trans person.
I understand. And there's also Sue Kerr, who reports out of Pittsburgh, who has been documenting trans deaths
yes.
for years and noted this as the first reported one and questions whether the family's report is accurate. We don't know. We're just reporting there are a variety of reports.
There are families that hate the idea that they've got a trans person. But that does not seem to be the case here.
Right. I don't feel I'm in a position to know. But what Sue says, whatever the definition, the violence hasn't stopped, but documentation has.
And by the way, gender nonconforming.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. But a lot of this, she is suggesting that a lot of this violence has gone underground because there is so much government refusal to acknowledge these cases and these issues.
And by the way, I mean, many people, almost all LGBTQ people are gender nonconforming in one way or another. Just going out with a partner of the same gender is nonconforming, you know, and that's one of the reasons people hate us. All right. Now, shall we start?
Augusto Machado.
Yeah.
86 years old.
Artist, activist, archivist and drag queen.
Legendary.
He came into being, as he always said, in 1959 when he assumed the pseudonym inspired by China Machado, the first Asian model to appear on the cover of a major fashion magazine. Before that, he would say, I was someone else. And I would see him at demonstrations all over town. Mm-hmm. He was a self-described orphan with a sixth grade education and a degree from the University of the Streets, who arrived in the village in the 50s and led the life of a pre-Stonewall street queen.
There's a wonderful short documentary of his life that we are going to link to in our show notes, so another reason to be on our email list, go to gayusatv.org to sign up for the show.
He was a big part of the art scene, fell in with the Warhol Factory, well, met Marsha P. Johnson and stood alongside her at the Stonewall Rebellion in 69.
He is in shows right now at the Museum of Modern Art,
Whitney?
At the Whitney in the Whitney Biennial, and at Bard College. Just a legendary artist and activist.
He was an early member of the Gay Activists Alliance,
yeah.
and he helped find and secure what was called the Firehouse on Worcester Street, which was their headquarters, which was so important, in Soho, which burned down, unfortunately.
So, 86, an incredibly rich, full life, but much mourned.
And we will also link to a longer obituary so that you can read
yes,
all about him.
And assuming there is some kind of memorial event at some point, we'll certainly let you know about
and
that.
And then we lost adult film star Seth Peterson at the age of 28. He was a star at Helix Studios. His real name was Adam Aguirre. He graduated college with a degree in neuroscience, but he said, I didn't know what to do with it, and I kind of felt like I didn't want to do anything with it. I needed the money, but I also saw potential for myself in the industry, and I thought it could be something I loved, and I did. He was found dead in his L.A. home.
Yeah.
No cause of death given.
No. Survived by his fiance, Kobe Marsh. So condolences to them. All right. International news?
Yes. Well, a Polish administrative court ruled that a local civil registry must record the marriage of a Polish gay couple that wed in Germany. It follows a ruling from the European Court in November that said all nations in the EU must recognize lawful same-sex marriages performed in EU countries. This is how marriage spread in the United States, because like New York would recognize marriages that we didn't do.
Right. And in Greece, a court has upheld the legality of same-sex marriage. So we're everywhere.
Right.
And we told you last week about Betty Lochgar, who had worn the shirt that said Allah is a lesbian. And she's in jail.
Don't say that. We're getting in trouble.
She's in jail in Morocco.
Well, it's terrible. She's facing a terrible situation to lose her arm to
but
sepsis.
She wore the T-shirt to protest a death sentence for two lesbians in Iran.
Yes.
But we just wanted to fill in some details.
Well, let's go to Munich. They now have their first openly gay mayor. His name is Dominic Kraus. That's how he celebrated on election night, kissing his fiance, Sebastian Muller. He's also the first Green Party member to be mayor. So he won a runoff in this thing. He's 35 years old. He started by thanking the love of my life, without whom all of this would not have been possible, and jokingly referred to himself as the Burgermeister.
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 Yeah. And in Nepal, they've elected.
Oh, by the way, he's been on the city council since 2014. People look at him and say, oh, he looks like a kid. He's been on the city council since 2014. He was already the vice mayor, basically.
Tell it to Eric Botcher, who looks very young. New state
46,
senator.
46, actually.
Yeah.
Aren't you, Eric? Yeah.
In Nepal, the new centrist government there includes the first out trans woman in the House of Representatives, a member of parliament, 37-year-old Bhumika Shrestha, a member of the Blue Diamond Society, which is the LGBTQ organization there.
She's 37. She's been an activist for years. I had a friend who worked in Nepal and worked with her over there with Blue Diamond. She was the first Nepali citizen to travel with updated documents to get the third gender category and all this. She's a pioneer and a trailblazer.
In 2022, this will take you to the Wayback Machine, 4 years ago, the U.S. State Department listed her as an international woman of courage.
Four years ago. Who was president then? Could it have been Joe Biden?
It was a crook. It was stolen. It was. And there's we're going to get to that shortly.
Kevin Spacey reached a settlement with three men who sued him over sexual assault claims, avoiding a civil trial in London that was set for October.
Yeah.
he still faces possible criminal charges over there, but he always seems to beat the rap, and in this case, he's just paying them off.
AIDS news?
Yes.
Well, good news. We told you last week that in Florida, they had restored some funding for ADAP, for drugs for people with HIV, and now the governor has signed an actual bill that continues even more funding through the end of this fiscal year, which is the end of June. And then they're going to be arguing over what happens after that.
Yeah, $31 million that they've kicked in. But again, it's only until the end.
It's not enough.
Only until the end of June.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then here in New York this last weekend, ACT UP celebrated the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, celebrated its 39th anniversary with a big tribute memorial to Mark Milano.
There they are with the banner, Honor Mark Milano, Demand a Cure, which was his big issue.
A very important member of ACT UP for many years. And then we marched to the offices of Palantir on 6th Avenue in New York to complain about the fact that Palantir is who do they work for? Oh, they help ICE.
Yes.
But they are funded by
We were calling for the divestment from Palantir Technologies and the defunding of ICE and the war effort as well. Okay.
They just got cut off by someone. That was
sorry.
There was a story today about Palantir losing its contract with someone. All right, so that's AIDS news, and now entertainment news.
Wait a minute. I just want to see if I have anything else.
All right, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, by the way, there was a big story in the Times about the chaos at the CDC under RFK. And I was impressed by some of the people who've left, like Deborah Horry, who was the chief medical officer. She says, I'm an ER doc, so I handle stress pretty well. But this was like being in a mass disaster nonstop for 8 months. Okay. And by the way, there's a poster exhibit on 23rd Street Poster House, Love and Fury, New York's Fight Against AIDS. And it started on March 13th. It goes through September the 6th. It looks at all the graphics around AIDS, many of them from ACT UP, flyers, posters, everything. Check it out. They're at 119 West 23rd Street. We'll include that in our email.
In the old TechServe building, you remember, that's where you'd take your computer to be repaired. Well, now you can go look at
Do people still take
posters.
Their computers to be repaired?
Oh, we'll have to ask Bill Bowman.
Oh, of course you – of course you do, if you can. All right, go ahead.
Well, we're moving to entertainment news.
Yes.
RuPaul's Drag Race is worried that it may be in trouble because they're an MTV and Paramount show, and David Ellison is buying, CBS that owns Paramount, whatever. And are they going to cancel RuPaul's Drag Race? I suspect the show is too popular and too big to be
Pete Hegseth openly says he can't wait till Ellison takes over CNN. Obviously, Trump wants it. That's happening.
South Park has survived that ownership, and so far.
Well, I mean, CBS News ratings are in the toilet.
Yes, I love that.
They're cutting CBS radio entirely.
I had lunch this week with an old CBS News colleague because I worked there. She worked there. We were there at the same time. We both got out at, 40 years ago.
But didn't you go back to disrupt one of the broadcasts?
No, but I told others how to do it.
Okay.
I facilitated their
Dan
disruption.
Rather. Yeah.
Dan Rather, who then got very angry at me and didn't want to, hid from me. In an airport.
And was also prosecuted by Dan Rather's son.
That's true. But my friend and I sat at lunch this week and said, we got out of there just in the nick of time 40 years ago.
All right. Tell us about Candace Parker. She's the first out LGBTQ analyst to call a March Madness game. There she is.
Yes, she had been a studio analyst since 2019. You know, the WNBA is just lousy with lesbians, and I say that as a compliment.
Yes, yes, of course.
There was another marriage of one of their stars this last week. They're just, you cannot turn around in the WNBA without running into lesbians everywhere. So, but not always in these prominent roles. And so Candace Parker, who was a big, big star, now being a broadcast analyst, is calling a game, actually calling a game, a March Madness game, an NCAA March Madness game, not even the WNBA games, but a men's March Madness
game. And I think it's important to note, you know, it's not as if lesbian bodies are better at athletics, but lesbians never gave a damn about what a man thought in terms of them being competitive, which was seen as unladylike.
Correct.
So that's why you will see a disproportionate number of lesbians achieving in sports.
We're just better at sport.
Why?
Why are there so many gay men in ballet?
In what?
Ballet.
Again, because I think that's because of the prejudices and things. Okay, go ahead. Renee Rapp.
Renee Rapp was one of my she's become a pop star and a popular actress, but she was on a fantastic streaming show of a couple of years ago, Sex Lives of College Girls. Which was less sexy than that sounds, but it was that, Dairy Girls, and Sex Education were the big three great streaming shows still available for you to find on Netflix or wherever. Really highly recommended. So now she is, where have I got that? I just lost it. She's going to be on The Morning Show, Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston show on Apple TV. She's going to be a new anchor on The Morning Show, pepping up some of that, because The Morning Show's gotten a little jump the sharky, but it's coming back for its fifth season. And that should be exciting to have Renee Rapp
and
on there.
Bridgerton is coming up for its fifth season, and they're getting lesbians?
Francesca and Michaela will be in love on Bridgerton on Netflix. So I think it's the fifth season lesbian phenomenon. Or not. But they're pepping up these shows.
I hadn't been aware of this, but I read this story and now I am. April is World Autism Month, and I just learned that while it's never mentioned in heated rivalry, Shane Hollander, the main character, is autistic, according to the author of the books and the people, but they never refer to it, but the actor plays him as autistic, and it's apparently very noticeable. And Hudson Williams is the actor.
Maybe season two will bring that up.
Williams said his portrayal was inspired by his autistic father.
Well, there you go. Amazon Prime is going to do a series called The Challenger about the Challenger shuttle that blew up years ago. And Kristen Stewart is going to play Sally Ride, who is not a main character. Obviously, she wasn't in the shuttle that blew up, but she is somehow involved in the plot. And I think that's just terrific casting.
Great.
Kristen Stewart will be great as Sally Ride.
I saw Daniel Radcliffe in
Sally Ride was the first woman on the commission examining the Challenger explosion. Oh.
I saw Daniel Radcliffe in Every Brilliant Thing on Broadway at the Hudson Theater. It's through May 24th. It's a revival of a one-man – that's him in the middle. It's a revival of a one-man show by Duncan McMillan and Johnny Donahue about a guy who, when his mom tries to take her own life when he was 7, starts keeping a list of every brilliant thing, every good thing, as a way to sort of overcome this pain of his mom being –
wasn't written these days, was it?
Huh? it's about 10 or 12 years old. I saw it off Broadway years ago, I think with Johnny Donahue. But audience participation is is invited.
Oh, yeah. I saw that he brings people up on stage to be part of this because essentially it's a one-man show,
yes,
right?
Yes. But he involves the audience in playing some of the characters. And
Did you get up on stage?
No, no. They don't want all people. But he exudes unbelievable energy, warmth, and humor as he portrays this. It's a troubled but a very buoyant character. Mary
Poppins. Sappy.
Yeah. It's not. It's serious because he goes through some difficulties. So make a list of every brilliant thing that's still happening in our terrible world.
I don't think you'll have any trouble doing that. Well, we sit here for an hour, soon to be half an hour, and make our own lists of every brilliant thing, every terrible thing, and every brilliant
thing. That trans man gave such brilliant testimony.
The decision in the Oregon federal court supporting care for trans kids.
Yes.
Now, I never saw Merrily We Roll Along, but I suspect this is something you liked.
I did like it very much. It was on Broadway, a lot of Tony wins. And the filmed version of the Stephen Sondheim musical will begin streaming on April 4th, following its run in cinemas and on digital platforms.
It'll be on Netflix.
Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, and Lindsay Mendez. It tells the story of a friendship that unfolds over two decades, but it tells it backwards.
I've never decided whether that was something I wanted to see.
It was a conceit, and it worked. Okay. For me, it didn't work in the original Broadway production.
It was
opened
a bomb,
and closed.
Yeah.
Well, they made the mistake of casting teenagers as the characters. So when they come on and they're supposed to be older people, they're not credible. So now they use sort of people who are a little older who can, you know, go back to being teenagers at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, if I can stay home and watch it, maybe that'll be
Oh, it's got some great music.
Yeah. All right.
Gentleman Jack.
Gentleman Jack was a wonderful, wonderful TV show for a couple of years.
HBO?
Maybe. About a 19th century, very out, very cranky, wonderful lesbian in the countryside of England.
Who kept a secretly coded diary that was discovered.
Exactly. So it was all a true story, and they could portray the whole thing. Well, now it is a ballet that is touring England. And we're going to link to the trailer in our show note because it's really wonderful.
Yes,
and
I'm
not a ballet aficionado, but I loved the music's wonderful, the dancing's wonderful.
Gentleman Jack was considered the first modern lesbian, Ann Lister.
Until they find the next one.
Right.
Yeah. So here we are. We have 45 seconds left, and we'll have less in 2 weeks. We are changing the format of the show. Maybe we'll bomb at this. We're going to try to be very organized and selective about what stories we tell. But really, we're doing this for the audience because we think it will be more viewer-friendly.
More digestible.
Exactly.
And when we refer to a story, we'll give you basically, in some cases, the headline. And then in our email, we will continue a link to it. And, of course, if you don't get our email, you can just Google these things and find out about them. But, you know, we'll tell you things we'll keep telling you things that are going on.
And we're done this week. Oh, wait. Yes. See you next week.